Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Finding Revival podcast. We have another really special guest today, Ella Holdcroft. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, we are going to talk a little bit about your story of you guys travel a lot as a family, and you have a pretty big family too. Why don't you start talking about like moving from the beginning, like the first move you've done and where you have moved in the past, and also where you live now.
So I live in Woodbridge, Virginia, which is really close to Washington, D.C. I was born in Mississippi and my dad was in the military. So we moved from Mississippi to California, from California to Nebraska, from Nebraska to Alabama, back from Alabama to Nebraska, moved across town in Nebraska, and then moved to Virginia. So it's been a lot, as I'm sure any other military families can relate to.
Yeah, for sure.
The very first move I remember was when my dad got stationed in Alabama for a year, and we moved when I was 6, which is the first one that I remember.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. So you've lived in all of those places. What do you think your favorite place that you lived was?
It's hard because I don't remember so many of them, but honestly, I think probably here in Virginia because I really love our house.
I love your house too. I love all of like the area that you live in and just like Virginia in general. Like it really is just super pretty.
All of it except for the traffic. The traffic is a nightmare.
Yeah. The traffic there is crazy. Okay, why don't you dive into, you mentioned that your dad was in the military. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, what that was like or, like, his position in the military, all of that.
So he was a pilot in the Air Force. He flew a whole bunch of planes. He flew and he taught other people in the Air Force. Some too, and I think he was in the, I want to say 22 years.
Dang, yeah.
I don't remember the exact number, but it was a long time.
So he's retired now. What is he doing for work now?
He is a captain, so he flies for American Airlines. So nice. He's an airline pilot, which is really great.
That is really great. Okay, so you guys do homeschool. So let's talk a tiny bit about that. And like, I don't know, because you haven't always been homeschooled, right?
I went to preschool.
Okay. So did you choose to be homeschooled? Like, what was the, like, right in the beginning? Do you remember, like, what the choice of it was?
I didn't choose. I went to preschool and hated it. I remember that much. I was a very shy little kid, so I was not a fan of preschool. And my oldest brother, he is super smart. And so when it was time for him to move up grades, he already knew everything. And so they recommended that he just skip a grade. But my mom was like, well, if he skips a grade, he's going to be the youngest in the grade and the smallest in the grade. And so we had the resources for her to start homeschooling him. So she decided to give it a try. And then it ended up working super well. So all of us have been homeschooled since then.
That is super awesome. Yeah, I feel like people don't talk a lot about the fact that, like, some people really wish they could homeschool, but they can't because they don't have the resources or, like, both parents are working. I feel like a lot of people don't acknowledge, like, what a privilege it is, I guess. We've talked about this a lot.
Yes, it really
before.
Is.
And also, something cool that comes with homeschooling is you get to travel whenever you want, basically.
Whenever we want.
Yeah, so why don't you talk about that? Because you guys have traveled, like, more than me. You've traveled a lot.
Yeah, so back in 2013, I was 6. And my parents decided that they wanted to take me and my siblings and travel and explore and tour all 50 states. Mm-hmm. So we started back in 2013, like I said, and now we are 48 states in.
Dang, that is really impressive. What states do you have left now?
Alaska and Colorado.
Nice. I feel like that's usually, people always get really stuck at Alaska.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been saving that for the grand finale ever since we started.
Yeah, that is super awesome. What has been, I feel like picking a favorite state is like super hard, but what do you think your favorite state has been that you visited?
It's This is another one that it's tricky because so many of the states we did when I was so young that I don't remember it fully.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite state is probably Utah.
Oh, we went last. Like mine too, I think.
Yeah, we went last late October into early November, and we went to all of the 5 big national parks, and I think that was my favorite that we've ever done.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites. Do you have a favorite of the parks here?
It is a close tie between Zion and probably Bryce Canyon.
I'm so excited for Bryce Canyon. I don't think I've actually mentioned we're in Utah, and we're going to do that in the next couple of days, so I am very excited. But yeah, okay, let's talk like out of the country, because you've done a lot of really cool trips. So I want to hear like, well, for one, having like a pilot as a dad is like such a blessing, because you get to go to
such a blessing.
All these places for, I mean, free flights, but yeah, that is amazing. So, okay, what do you think, like out of country, what has been your favorite, I guess, like place or trip, you could say?
So my favorite place is... we went to Brussels and Bruges in Belgium, and then we went to Zurich and Lucerne in Switzerland. And both of those trips, it would probably be Belgium.
Yeah.
And then the best trip we ever took internationally was we did like a joint, we went to all of the places in Belgium, and then we went to Paris, France, and then London.
Yeah.
All on the same trip. So that was like an absolutely stacked set of places.
Yeah. That is crazy. I want to go to all, I want to just do like all of Europe. Like, that's such a bucket list.
Yes. So my dad keeps, he's a very organized person, and he keeps a note in his phone about every single flight we take. And I think this year I'm up to 12 flights, counting each trip as one. So counting out and back as one flight instead of two.
What has been your longest trip you've been on?
We took a long trip to Ethiopia in Africa in 2016. But I don't remember exactly how long that was. The longest one we've done recently was 17 days all around the Pacific Northwest.
Amazing. That's one of my favorite places ever. I just love the Oregon coast so
yeah,
much.
It was super
about
cool.
It, like, all the time. Okay, so.
I think Washington is in my top 3 states for sure.
Let's talk a tiny bit about, because you have a big family, why don't you give a tiny bit of background on your family in general, and then what it's like to travel with them.
Okay, so I have my mom and dad, and then I have an older brother who is 21, an older brother who is 19, and then there's me, and then I have 2 younger twin brothers who are 14, and then my little sister who is 4. And then we also have 2 dogs, but they never travel with us, so they don't really count.
Yeah.
Yeah, so traveling with everyone, it's a bit of an ordeal. Just because there are so many of us.
Yeah.
And we tend to get along well, but it can be incredibly chaotic.
Yeah. Because you guys do a lot of, like, hotels, I feel like. And sharing a hotel with, like, all of your family can be a lot, especially for a long time. Do you have any, like, tips for other people who are traveling with their families?
I would just say you just kind of have to embrace it.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, it's such an experience. And there are so, so many memories from all of our trips that I will, like, forever remember. And so you just have to forgive very quickly on vacation, because everyone gets tired and everyone gets tired of being in each other's company, and you get a lot snippier. And so you just have to forgive easily and move on a little quicker than you might normally.
Yeah, that is something that I've definitely discovered on this trip, is just like, you just can't hold on to it too long. Because after a while, like,
yeah,
because it's like angry to be angry almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what do you think? I mean, do you feel like you felt like a shift between when you were traveling with your whole family at like age like 11 and then like now? Like, do you have any tips on specifically like things that you've only struggled with recently? Like, I feel like for me, it was like personal space or like something like that.
Yeah, the personal space has definitely, I have wanted it more the older I have gotten. And so that's definitely become a little bit more of a struggle. But the biggest struggle for me overall traveling is that I have some nasty chronic pain issues with my back for the last year and a half. Yeah. And it was really bad over the last year and a couple months. And so that just makes traveling way harder. And on days that it's bad, I tend to get much shorter with my siblings.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
That is really true.
So I think that's got to be the hardest overall.
Yeah. I was just about to ask about that. Do you have any, tips or, hacks that you've found out as someone who struggles really bad with chronic pain and it gets worse, traveling and stuff?
Find a good medicine. That helps a lot. I have a set of stretches I do, but it's definitely, I've had to work through a lot of anxiety surrounding it because you really, you have to you can focus in on it so easily and get sucked into it so hard because, you know, you're thinking, 24/7, you know, what long drives are we doing today? What time do I need to take medicine for it to be kicked in by then? What are we doing after the drive? Can I still do that even if I'm not feeling great? You know, what's the bed situation going to be? Because I can't sleep on, a pullout because I'll wake up hurting. Am I going to have enough space? You know, so on and so forth. And it's really easy to get sucked out of the moment. And so I've had to do a lot of work on just kind of letting that go and accepting that whatever happens is going to happen and that I've done all I can to prevent it and help it. And then just try to focus on being in the moment instead of focusing on the chronic pain and ruining the experience.
Yes, that was really good advice and tips. I feel like just even thinking back to 6 months ago, I am seriously so amazed and proud of how you've handled it all. You've pushed through and grown through so much of your anxiety around all of that, which is really hard when you're in so much pain. And yeah, I just think it's really amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, so if you feel comfortable with it and you want to give however long story of what exactly you struggle with.
Yeah, I broke 5 bones in my back in January of 2023. And so I just get really bad back pain and my muscles in my back get super stiff. And so I have a lot of trouble standing if it's really bad, and I have trouble sitting in chairs that aren't specific types of chairs are comfortable, but I have a lot of trouble in chairs if I'm sitting for too long if it's really bad.
Yeah.
We've been working, and it's gotten a lot better in the past, not quite six, the past probably 4 months. We found something that really helped, and it is getting a lot better, so fingers crossed. These last trips have been easier than they have been in the past.
Yeah, I'm really glad. That is a really hard... I feel like being in the moment when you're so distracted with things like that, it's just the actual worst thing ever. What is your favorite part of traveling, or the best part of it for you?
I really just seeing the world and seeing all of these places that are so different and seeing all these different cultures is just so eye-opening. And it's just a really amazing thing to see. And getting to see all of these great historical places where these amazing things have happened is also just a super cool thing to be a part of. Getting to be where these events took place. The food. I love getting all of the good food in all the different places. We always find out wherever we're going, what the food they're known for is, and then we try to get it.
Yeah.
And I look forward to it every time. It's so good.
Right? Okay, so you have a 4-year-old sister who is just the best thing ever.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about what it's traveling with a 4-year-old?
It's a lot. So she's kind of a homebody, we've discovered. She really likes to be at home, and she likes to be with our dogs and with her toys. And she does not do so hot on little amounts of sleep. And
oh,
so
yes.
When we're getting less amounts of sleep in hotel rooms every night and everyone's waking everyone else up, she can become a bit short-tempered. Like, when she was younger, you know, she didn't really care what she did because, well, like, what we did while we were traveling. But now that she's older, she will, like, start to say that things are boring. And so our Pacific Northwest trip was so much hiking because there are so many great national parks out there.
Yeah,
and she hates
sure.
hiking. And so we worked in, whenever we were in a city, we had to find, she loves playgrounds. So we went to so many playgrounds on that trip and let her play her little heart out. But it's definitely very different to have a kid so young.
For sure. My sister is 10, so like it's a lot different, but I almost feel like it's a different kind of tricky sometimes because they're just at two very different stages in their life. I feel like we've talked about this before, like it's almost even cooler to see, like, I don't know, their favorite parts and like what they think of all the places that we've gone.
It's amazing. She has not just traveling, but like period dot, it is so interesting to see her perspective on things as a four-year-old. Because it is so different than so many other people's perspectives. And so, and it's really heightened on trips that she brings up these points or, like, you know, says some part of the day that no one else was thinking of as her favorite part. Like, we saw this giant banana slug on one of our hikes. And so when we were talking about what the best part of the day was, she was like, that banana slug.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really, it helps you appreciate the little things. She will be able to find, like, so much joy in this, like, some things that are kind of incredibly mundane. She'll find, like, she'll just think they're the most amazing thing ever. And it'll, like, make her whole day. And so it does help sometimes that she can remember better than us to, like, appreciate the little things.
I love that so much. And I just, that just makes my heart so happy. Okay, let's talk a little bit about our friendship, all that stuff. So, we first met in, what would that have been? Like, 2018, I think?
It would have been 2017 because I turned 10.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, I got.
Yeah. Okay, and we kind of met through, I guess, just, like, being homeschooled and, like,
Yeah, it was a bunch of co-ops that we were in, and Girl Scouts.
Yeah, and Girl Scouts, yes. We met when we were, like, 8 and 9, 9 and 10, something like that. And then I feel like we didn't start being, like, best friends until, like, 10 and 11, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. So we were, like, 10 minutes apart in Nebraska. And we were hanging out all the time. And then you ended up moving in 2020. And it was on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, it was the day after Halloween. So we, like, said goodbye on Halloween night. But just a little...
Oh, it was terrible.
Not the best. That was, like, one of the
awful
worst nights ever. Oh, my goodness.
That was one of the saddest nights. My life.
Seriously. Oh yeah, it was definitely in like the top three of mine. It was so bad.
And then the next Halloween was sad too because my phone decided to pop up the pictures of our matching costumes from that night, and then I went down a really sad memory trip lane.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, our combo costume was so good though. Like, I still just like can't even get over it.
So good.
It was so good. We were Zuko and Mei from Avatar: The Last Airbender, and you were Zuko and I was,
Mei.
So
good.
It was so good. Okay, so we've been doing long distance friendship for about the past 4 years. And actually, I think, like, it'll be 4 years, like, really soon, too. Like, at the end of this month.
Yeah, next month.
Yeah, that is crazy. I feel like we have gotten so much closer in the last 4 years, though. Like, honestly, even just the last year, I feel like we've gotten, like, way closer.
Yeah, I feel like long distance will either drift you apart or it just pulls you so much closer together. And I feel like 9 times out of 10, it's one or the other.
I feel like it really is. Like, I feel like you either, yeah, you drift apart because of time or whatever, or you just, like, really, like, grow up together, almost. And that's definitely what happened.
Yeah.
And I also feel like, I mean, we don't see each other as much. We probably see each other every, like, 2 to 3 months. But when we see each other, we're together for, like, a long time, like, nonstop. Like, usually, like, 5 days.
Yeah.
So it's almost like we're together, like, more in a way, or we're, like, yeah, we spend more quality time.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is that when you're long-distance friends, you cherish the time you have together so much more than you would otherwise.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of our favorite, like, friendship core memories of the last, like, 4 years of being long-distance friends.
Okay, I gotta think about it.
I know, we have so many.
Of them for sure has to be when I flew out in June and we went to see Tim McGraw together.
Yes, that was, like, oh, that was, like, the best visit. Oh, my gosh. That was amazing. Okay, something.
And then every time I fly out for your birthdays, too.
Yes, those are, like, the best visits, our birthday visits. They're just so fun. This is such a small, random, like, core memory, but it was, like, late June, and it was, like, pretty late at night, and we were taking, like, Polaroid photos in your driveway, and it was, like, the perfect.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. And definitely, like, Tim McGraw concert, and I mean, you always come up for our homeschool dances that we have, and so those are always, like, such fun visits, too. And getting to be, like, all together, it's the best. I love flying to your house in the summer and, like, getting to live a little bit of your life.
Yeah.
I feel like, and that's something that we, like, talk about all the time, is, like, it's really cool, like, having two separate lives, almost. So then we can, like,
tell each
other about them and, like, share them. It's really fun and exciting. Okay. Let's talk about, do you have any tips for other people who are doing the long distance friendship thing? It definitely helps when your dad's a pilot and we can have free flights all the time.
Yes, we would not see each other nearly as much if it wasn't for my dad.
Oh, yeah.
I think that my tips are that, like, if you have the right person, it's worth it. And you'll 100% know if it's worth it or not. And when it's a friendship that's worth it, you just have to, like, appreciate all of the small things. Because, like, you don't get as many small things when you're live halfway across the country from each other.
Yeah.
And so you have to, like, appreciate, you know, the completely random texts that you get and the outfit of the day pictures and the 2-hour-long phone calls.
Yes.
And all of that stuff. Because you have to like, work on finding joy in those things so that you, like, still find so much joy in your friendship.
I feel like it really does help having someone who, you say this all the time, having someone that, like, pours back into you when you pour into them, if you feel like someone's really pouring back into you or not. Okay, and definitely, like, texting and phone calls is kind of an obvious tip, but, like, a very important one.
For sure.
And having someone who is, like, really down to make sacrifices for you and remembering you all the time.
Like, right.
We are very similar, but I feel like we're just different enough that, like, we click really well. And so I think it's really easy and, like, worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about the worst part of having a long-distance friendship, which I think is kind of obvious, but, like, I want to hear what you say.
So, I mean, the obvious thing is that I just miss you all the time.
Yeah.
But then the small thing is, like, it's really sad to, like, I see things all the time. I want to be able to text you and be like, do you want to come run errands with me? And then, like, pick you up and,
oh,
like, go
gosh,
run errands.
Yes.
Like, I want to do that so freaking bad.
Yeah, like, it's the smallest
thing. So I think
things.
It's, like, the really, yes, that's what I was about to say, is it's the small things.
Yeah, like, having a good errand buddy or, like, walking the dogs together, going to Target, that is just, like, the very small things. Or being like, hey, do you want to come over? And like being there and not getting to be there like physically for each other in really hard times has been like the worst for me, at least.
Yes. Yes, that was about to be my next thing, is it is so, so hard not to be there when you need me. It sucks.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's terrible. You can elaborate as much as you want on this one, on the trip that I'm on right now. Like, what are your thoughts and opinions on this, like, really long trip that we're on?
I think that it is, like, such an experience, and I'm so happy that you, like, get these memories, because they're ones that I'm sure are going to last forever.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of you for, like, making lemonade out of the lemons of it.
Yeah.
And, like, really putting your best foot forward and just embracing it.
Yeah.
I hate the time difference, though.
Seriously. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I feel like I say this to you all the time, but one of my favorite things about you is that you, like, slow down really well. Like, you slow down and notice all the, like, really cool little things and, like, just appreciate everything. And I'm a very, like, fast-paced person, and you have, like, made me better at slowing down for all those little things. Okay, let me see. Oh, okay. So kind of circling back to travel, all that type of stuff. What is your top place that you want to go right now?
Is it really corny if I say wherever you are?
Okay, but we really do need to, like, go to all of our favorite places together someday.
We do.
Like, we need to have, like, cutie little matching, like, burner vans and just, like, meet up with people and, like,
yes,
everything together. That would be
yes, 100%.
I feel like I was just talking to you about this. Somewhere really random that, like, I just have been fixated on the last year is going to Iceland. I don't know what it is, but, like, all the photos.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, I need to go there.
Yeah, I want to go to anywhere in Italy really bad.
Yes.
And then I really want to go back to Japan. That's another, yeah. Like, I want to go back to Tokyo so bad.
Oh my gosh, yeah. All right, let's wrap up with tips you have for other teenagers. Like, I guess life tips or dealing with traveling, just kind of your opinion on, I don't know, something really valuable that you've learned from your teenage years so far.
I think the first one is that it's become, I feel like, very popular, especially for younger teenagers and tweens, to want to grow up so quickly.
Yes,
and so my advice about that is that just, like, embrace your childhood and embrace being younger, because, you know, you're only going to get to be young once. And I feel like that's what everyone says, but I found that to be very true.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Then my second one is that, is just that, you know, the people that you surround yourself with, like, truly make such a difference. And so I think it's really important to focus on who you surround yourself with. And make sure that, like we just said earlier, it's people who are pouring back into you.
Yeah.
Because it's a complete waste of time, in my opinion, to, you know, keep, like, work to keep alive relationships that aren't doing anything for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Coming from someone who is homeschooled, do you have any, like, tips, like, academically for high school?
Ooh. I didn't think about that for a second.
Because you were, like, kind of for real killing it with school the last 2 years.
Thank you. It definitely doesn't always feel that way. I think it is really, like, once you get into a, you know, heavier workload, it's important to figure out a system that works for you. Like, for me, I want to see all of my due dates. My mom prints them all out. And so I see everything that's due and I can check them off as I go. And so, like, that's a system that really helps me. And so I think it's very worth it to put time into figuring out what, like, little things you can do to make it easier for you. And, like, what really works, and then figuring out what doesn't and trying your very best to cut that out.
I love that. That's a really good tip. Yeah, I don't think we've ever talked about that before. That is a really good one. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You'll have to definitely do it again soon in the future.
Thank you for having me.
This was like so much fun to
talk
about all this stuff. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening to another episode, and I will talk to y'all soon.